Thank you for joining us today for the sixth episode of the Whitaker Report, a discussion with thought leaders about the future of economic development, site selection, and corporate real estate. My name is Dean Whitaker, President and CEO of Whitaker Associates, a data analytic company serving the needs of economic development and commercial real estate organizations. I will be your host as we endeavor to see around the corner. Today, we will be speaking with Bethany Miller, who joined the Greater Houston Partnership as Vice President of Regional Economic Development in October 2019 to lead the partnership's domestic economic development efforts. The Houston Partnership regional footprint includes 12 counties and more than 50 economic development organizations. As part of her duties, Bethany oversees the implementation of regional business attraction, retention, and expansion. She also oversees the business ecosystem initiatives that position the Houston Partnership as a global location of choice for business and talent. She provides supervision for all economic development projects in support of the mission to make Houston one of the world's best places to live, work, and build a business. Prior to joining the Houston Partnership, Bethany served as Vice President of Domestic Investment for the Greater Richmond Partnership in Virginia. Bethany brings a wealth of economic development experience, business retention and attraction, export promotion, and working with site selection consultants and the regional brokerage community. Bethany is a proud graduate of Ohio State University, where she earned a bachelor's degree in liberal arts in sociology and a master's in city and regional planning. She is a certified economic developer. Please join me as we welcome Bethany Miller to the Whitaker Report. Bethany, thank you for joining us today for the Whitaker Report, and we appreciate you taking your time to share with us some of your thoughts. Recently, you gave a presentation at the IEDC Leadership Summit on the economic benefits of inclusion. What inspired you to do that, and what did you learn?
Well, thanks so much for having me this morning. It's really exciting to be able to talk to you about this and all the other topics we'll cover this morning. And I really love the way that you frame this question, because you mentioned benefit, and benefits are opportunities. And as economic development practitioners, that's our focus, right? To look at where we can find opportunities for the communities that we represent. And so that presentation was called Developing Metrics on the Cost of Inequality. And one reason or way to use metrics is to have them reveal where the opportunities lie. So I really felt like that topic allowed me to tell a story about how much we have to gain if we direct our attention to the benefits and opportunities of creating more equitable structures in our community for all of the people who live and work there, as opposed to, you know, just focusing on who gets left behind and the drag that comes to the economic system or structure as a result. You know, job creation and capital investment, that's only part of the story. If we're talking about creating equitable circumstances for people in America, but as economic developers, it's the part that we touch. And I'm just really inspired by that. And I wanted to take advantage of being able to talk about it.
Very cool. I think you did a great job on that. What did you learn in terms of working on the metrics? What did you find when you started looking at Houston relative to those metrics?
Well, I think we're really fortunate. There are tons of metrics out there, and people are paying more and more attention to equitable communities and what that means from an economic development perspective. So there was lots of detail. And in Houston, I think that, you know, the opportunity is really amazing. I mean, Houston is the most diverse city in the country. And, you know, 70% of the people who are under the age of 20 are minorities. And so when we talk about equity, a lot of times we're talking about ensuring that people who come from minority groups are included. They have the same opportunity to achieve and contribute to society in the ways that the majority group does. And so there was lots of really great information about our potential and our capacity in that regard. But the metrics also reveal that there's a lot of important work that still needs to be done. So I think that Houston's future is bright. The story is a really, really good one, has the potential to be a really good one. And the metrics reveal that there are lots of ways for all of the folks who have a vested interest in ensuring that that story has a happy ending, can get started on the work of making that the reality.
What are some of the things you're doing in Houston to bring that about?
So from the partnerships perspective, we have created a diversity and equity committee. And we have a senior vice president of diversity, equity, and inclusion who's working through all of the different ways that the work that our organization can provide a more equitable community for all Houstonians. And so that touches on our policy perspectives. It touches on our economic development perspectives. There are all kinds of organizations that, Houston is a very philanthropic community. And so for a long time, many of the people in Houston have been thinking about how they can stand up organizations and efforts that, work to create a more equitable framework. One of the ones that I mentioned in that session is called Good Reason Houston. That was established through some work that the partnership laid the foundation for and is now spun out and stands up on its own. Good Reason Houston is dedicated to ensuring that all of the students in Harris County have access to quality education and can ultimately contribute to the pipeline of talent. But then I think we have a lot of work to do from a regulatory perspective, and the policy folks, just to touch on that again, are doing a lot around, the issues related to the Houston Independent School District and, all kinds of policy related issues, right? The legislation creating in law systems that work for Houstonians. And so there are lots of really good examples of how we're engaging the corporate partners who fund the partnership and represent some of the largest companies in the nation and the world, and ensuring that they have a seat at the table and their voices and objectives and initiatives are heard and become part of that framework. Because if, the private sector is not involved, it's really hard to make that change. But also, we're working, like I said, on the regulatory side of things and from an economic development perspective to drive activity to areas that ensure that the folks who are in Houston with the talent can take advantage of those opportunities. So
one of the areas that I see some challenges have been in the area of wealth creation within minority groups. Are you doing anything in that area?
The partnership isn't specifically, but I'm certain that some of the entities that are connected to our DEI work are involved in that. And I think, from a broader economic development perspective, if we bring jobs into communities, if we try to make the members of our organization accessible to, young adults, high school age kids, help build those networks that are so important for advancing professionally. Mm-hmm. Understanding how, business is, the work of business is done. I mean, I do think that we can definitely provide some influence there. Those are things that are happening more informally than formally at this point, though.
Sometimes those are the most effective, as you know, too.
And definitely touched on that in the IDC presentation. So, absolutely.
Back to your presentation. What else did you tell the audience about? What else did you touch on?
Goodness. So I talked about specifically, how as economic developers we could influence family income, by creating the jobs that provide the wealth for an individual family. To bring into the household and, that ultimately provides opportunity. And I also touched on some of the relationship building that I just talked about a second ago. So, how do we use the people who are members of our organization to build the networks that are important to ensuring that, folks who may not typically have access are have the mentorship opportunities that they need to kind of better understand how business gets done. I talked about some really great influencers, I guess, that I came across in doing the project work. So there was an author named Heather McGee who just published Some of Us, What Racism Costs Everyone and How We Can Prosper. Mm-hmm. He talks about this idea of the zero-sum game and the need for us as a society to move away from this line of thinking that says, you know, if I don't, if other people have access to the things that I have access to, I'm going to lose somehow, you know, this zero-sum game concept. And instead, you know, understanding that when we create more opportunity and make it more broadly available to everyone in our society, then the outcomes for all of us, you know, become more positive. We all stand to win. We gain something by including more people, by bringing more people into the fold. I was also going to say,
I think the diversity of thought is important in terms of an innovation or an innovative economy. The more diversity of thought that we have, I think the more creative our economy becomes.
That's a great one. I like to use a tech example about algorithms. And, you know, algorithms are becoming more and more prominent in how we solve problems when we use technology in that process. And ultimately, those algorithms are developed by people. And so if you don't have a heterogeneous group of people mm-hmm. on building the algorithms, then you leave folks out when you establish how those solutions are arrived upon. So to your point, yeah, you need to have diverse thought, diverse perspectives, diverse backgrounds at the table when we're problem solving in tech, for example, if we want to make sure that the technology is going to be useful for all the people who might use it. So
that's a very good point, because one of the things I was wondering about is what do you see the impact of technology being on Houston? When I say Houston, I'm really talking about your much larger region, but what do you see the impact that technology is having currently?
Yeah, I mean, without technology, Houston really doesn't have a future. Our industry focus areas include aerospace, energy 2.0 or clean energy generation, the life sciences, manufacturing and logistics, technology itself. And the evolution of those industries is powered by technology. I mean, there's a ton of innovation happening in Houston every day. We're trying to, as I said, find new ways to generate and store energy. We are preparing to send astronauts back to the moon in the next few years. When those astronauts get to the moon, they're going to be using that clean energy to power themselves around. You know, we've got great positioning from a logistics perspective, and we know that logistics processes and manufacturing processes that sort of go hand in hand with logistics are becoming more automated. Mm-hmm. Without technology, none of that stuff happens. And so it's a major component of the fabric of our community, for sure.
You mentioned life sciences earlier, and I did have an opportunity one time to visit the Houston Medical Center, and I was so impressed with that facility and what they do and all the research that's going on there. And I was just kind of curious about how you saw the global pandemic impacting Houston and kind of what do you see for the future of your life science sector?
Well, life sciences is incredibly important to Houston and its economy. Healthcare is an important part of our economy. You know, for us, I think one of the big advantages or opportunities that we're hoping to take advantage of, rather, is the return of pharmaceutical manufacturing to the United States. Mm-hmm. You know, we see a big opportunity there and want to exploit the expertise of the people who are working at the Texas Medical Center, the largest medical complex in the world, in recruiting companies based on the availability of their talent. And so from a life sciences perspective, we certainly are hoping that the pandemic is going to result in some pharma manufacturing growth for us. You know, as far as other industries are concerned, going back to tech, I mean, like every place else in the country, probably we're seeing lots more project flow for electric vehicle opportunities. I mentioned manufacturing and logistics before, so just more projects that are focused on automation. And so those are areas I think that we'll see some increase. We hope to see some increase. I mean, we've been definitely busy in those areas right now. Always, like any good economic developer, I'm going to say we could use some more wind. But, those are promising areas for us. And then on a totally separate note, I would say that our relationships with allies have really been enhanced as a result of the pandemic. The Houston is huge. It's our footprint is a little bit more than 10,000 square miles. And so if you can imagine what that does to your day, if you have a meeting with someone who's on the far outskirts of the regional boundaries at noon, you know, you might have to leave at like 10:30 or 11 to get to that meeting. And then you're with your ally or your partner for an hour or so. By the time you get back to the office, the workday is over. So being able to meet virtually has really enabled us to get together more often on shorter notice. And really, that's allowed us to have a better understanding of the strengths of each one of our ally communities. Of course, there's nothing that replaces getting out in person to see a community. And we certainly are looking forward to being able to do that again. But just knowing how well it works to be able to connect on the fly has really enhanced our ability to build and grow relationships.
I think we've all learned how to use Zoom by now, except we still forget to unmute ourselves. But other than that,
that's right. We're turning the camera on sometimes.
Yeah. So it's
or off.
Yeah, or off. That's the other one too. That's funny. I was curious to know, kind of, you know, looking in your crystal ball, what do you see the future of economic development to look like? Where do you see us headed?
That's a great question. I see inclusion coming to the forefront as we focus on our work in the future. You know, corporations for a while have been asking more and more questions about access to diverse talent pools. Communities, the Houston region is not unique in the sense that it's set up a DEI initiative and is working diligently to try and create a more equitable community. I really like that trend, and I hope we continue to focus on creating a really vibrant patchwork of talent and equitable priorities that companies are attracted to and that attract residents and talent to our communities because, you know, people want to live in places where they feel welcome, and especially in a place like Houston, you know, as the most diverse city. I think we're well suited to create that kind of environment. We're off to an awesome start, obviously. And I just feel strongly about how much our work is enhanced if we are deliberate in those efforts. And I want to be a part of that. So I really think that inclusion and how to pull inclusiveness into our framework is really where we're trending.
Very cool. Well, we're about out of time. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners as far as where you see things headed and what's happening in Houston in the not too distant future?
You know, I think the you know, if I were going to say that, you know, one more remark about where we're headed, I think I've been really encouraged by the ability of some of the folks at the local level in Texas and the state to, I mean, economic development, the way that we're starting to think about how to adjust to changes in industry trends, you know, everything about the way that we do business, about the way that the companies that we recruit to our communities do business changed over the last year. And sometimes the slow nature of bureaucracy can threaten the ability of a community to respond to really quick industry changes or adjustments. But I'm really encouraged by the fact that people are talking about changes to industry and what it's going to take for communities to remain competitive. So I'm hopeful that moving forward, some of the trends that we see are going to be really innovative thought on the public sector side of the house too, so that we can find a way to marry the benefits of what we have to offer to companies to the needs that companies have.
Very cool. Bethany, thank you for sharing your thoughts with us today about the future, particularly of what you see on the horizon for Houston and your partnership. You've given us a bit of a glimpse of what's around the corner, and I appreciate it. Please stay in touch with us. We'll look forward to future conversations with you, Bethany, and thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you again so much for asking me to participate. It was a lot of fun, and I look forward to connecting with you again.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Whitaker Report podcast, Seeing Around Corners, and a special thanks to Bethany Miller for helping us better understand the changes taking place in the global location strategy and site selection as we respond to the rapidly changing world around us. Again, I am Dean Whitaker, your host. Please subscribe to the Whitaker Report podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Thank you for listening.